Mr. Ng Wei Neng.
Question 6, sir.
Mr. Speaker, with your permission, can I address questions 6 and 7 together?
Please proceed.
I believe Mr. Gerald Giam has also filed a question, similar topic, for a subsequent sitting. I'll try to address the issue in this reply and also be happy to take supplementary questions. And if that's adequate, you can withdraw your PQ that was filed for a later session. Singapore welcomed the agreement that was reached on the 9th of October by Israel and Hamas on the first phase of the Trump peace plan. I need to commend the incredible achievement of President Trump, his negotiating team, which includes Mr. Steve Witkoff, Marco Rubio, of course, Jared Kushner, and also the invaluable part played by Egypt, Qatar, and Turkey. This is a critical plan, and it's not just the details of the plan or how many points there are, but the fact is that America remains the indispensable superpower with real leverage and is willing to apply that leverage on the warring parties to arrive at where we are today. So the first phase is now being implemented, and in particular that means a ceasefire and the release of the hostages, at least those who are alive. And this is crucial, this is important, this is the first step of what will in fact be a long and arduous journey to peace. And we should have no illusions, many things can still go wrong. The next few essential steps are a surge in humanitarian assistance, and I'll explain later what Singapore will do on that front. And then the establishment of some kind of transitional authority. I would also expect and hope that there will be some United Nations Security Council resolution to provide an international legal framework for these arrangements. And then the Palestinian Authority, which as part of that plan has committed to reform, and I will also explain what we will do to assist the Palestinian Authority on its journey, and on its journey, which I would like to add, ultimately to a two-state solution, which Singapore supports. So now let me turn to what we are doing and are hoping to do more of on the humanitarian front. In the past 2 years, we've been working very closely with the Egyptian Red Crescent, with the Jordanian Hashemite Charity Organization. We're also working with the World Food Programme. And we're also working with a few Egyptian hospitals. In fact, a medical team from NUH was just there a few weeks ago. We've also deployed, as and when there's been hospital ships in the area, to provide medical treatment to people who need help. I think the immediate acceleration of humanitarian assistance now is the fact that I hope the overland routes will open. And that is crucial if humanitarian assistance is going to be delivered at the scale necessary. So we will certainly look forward to doing more with our partners in the region. And I would add, we also expect the Israelis to do their part to facilitate the the delivery of humanitarian assistance overland through the crossings into Gaza. It is premature to discuss what we will do with the transitional authority because, you know, that's still inchoate at this point in time. But what I would say is that in the short term, in the immediate term, we certainly want to do more with the Palestinian Authority. We've already been working with them for years, capacity building programs, technical assistance, more recently scholarships, and all this with a view to enhancing the capacity to exercise effective administrative oversight and to exercise the levers of government in their eventual statehood. And I would expect to increase the tempo of our interaction with the Palestinian Authority so that they can fulfill this ambition. Again, we will need time, and we will stand ready to respond to the Palestinian Authority's assessment of its own needs, and particularly, I hope, its ability to exercise governance in Gaza as well, an area in which it has not been able to exercise governance for two decades. So I just want to give this House the assurance that, you know, we're watching developments very closely, and we will do our best within the limits and constraints of distance and the fact that we're very small, but we happen to have a multiracial, multi-religious, united society who is open-hearted, generous, and willing to do, in a sense, more than our fair share to help people in need in this very dire set of circumstances.
Mr. Ng?
Thank you, Minister, for the comprehensive reply. When I submitted this PQ, the 20-point peace plan was yet to be accepted by Hamas and Israel. We are glad that the plan has now been accepted and the hostages has all been released. I would like to ask Minister if Singapore would consider helping to rebuild Gaza by setting up a clinic to offer treatments to the residents of Gaza and send a medical team to Gaza right now in the interim. And two, the minister also consider setting up a school, for example, in Gaza to educate the young that have very little opportunity to access to quality education. And thirdly, will Singapore be considered sending a small peacekeeping team to provide logistic support to the bigger efforts led by US? Of course, we are suggesting this when the situation is more stable. Thank you.
Minister Balakrishnan.
Mr. Speaker, I've explained that we have, in fact, already been contributing on the medical front in the last 2 years. And we look forward to doing more with our partners. But it depends very much on access, on security, and on the needs. I would make this point from a medical perspective. You know, at this stage, you're not dealing with the immediate acute trauma. In fact, you're dealing with difficult sequelae like amputations, the need for prosthesis, the need for rehabilitation, the need to deal with psychological and emotional trauma. So it's a different set of specialties that are necessary. And my point, again, is depending on the needs and depending on our resources, we will do our part. That's on the medical side. The exact locations of deployment are again dictated by exigencies on the ground. Where are the facilities in which our medical staff can make a contribution? And I'm sure this House will agree, we also want to pay attention to the safety of our staff on the ground. On schools, well, I think we should be cognizant that there are very few Arab fluent speakers in Singapore. But to the extent that we can work with train-the-trainer programs, and in the long run, there is going to be a need for education and vocational education and training, which will help enhance their ability to acquire the skills which are necessary for the long-term economy. So these are things, again, I would, you know, I see where you're coming from, but let's be realistic and approach this in a stepwise fashion. It's premature to talk about the peacekeeping troops. As I said, I would wait first for a UN Security Council resolution. I hope there will be one. And we will, you know, we will assess very carefully what role. It would be premature for me to make any commitments at this stage.
Mr. Zulkarnain Abdul Rahim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Minister. I think I had an SQ on humanitarian aid assistance, and I'm heartened to hear that Singapore will continue to work with the international bodies and at the same time maintain the safety of our humanitarian workers there. My question is on the President Trump brokered peace deal. While it covers the phased withdrawal and also ceasefire, it leaves the questions of Palestinian statehood and the governance in Gaza unresolved. Does the government view this as a credible step towards a genuine two-state solution? And then as a follow-up question to that, I agree with Minister that it may be too early or premature to tell whether this peace plan would be enduring and effective. But if it does lead to peace and stability for both the Israelis and the Palestinian people, and we have to give credit where credit is due, would Singapore nominate or support President Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize?
Minister Balakrishnan.
The 20-point plan, as you have said, is a great achievement. But it is a first and essential step, but not sufficient, to achieving peace, security, development, hope, and even ultimately a two-state solution. Let me come back to the basics of where Singapore stands. Singapore believes the Palestinians have a right to self-determination. Singapore believes there should be a negotiated two-state solution. I think I just delivered a ministerial statement. We spent more than 2 hours on this subject a month ago. So our position on that remains unchanged. Does this agreement help? I think this agreement sets the stage where it is possible to imagine a negotiated two-state solution can emerge. But I also want to remind everyone, this has been one of the most intractable conflicts, not just of the last century, but going back a very long time. And whilst we all cheered by the current positive news, I think we should be very realistic and psychologically be prepared that this will be a long and arduous journey. For Singapore, we should maintain our consistent principled approach. We should continue to have effective bridges and access to all the stakeholders. We should, wherever possible, within the limits of our capability, be constructive, reliable partners for peace, for development and long-term reconciliation between two peoples who have been through unimaginable horrors in the last 2 years.
Mr. Jerogam.
So I thank the minister for his answer. So will Singapore seek a seat for an eminent person from Singapore on the Board of Peace, which will oversee the administration of Gaza? And this board includes former British Prime Minister Tony Blair. The minister has said that things are still inchoate, but would he agree that if we wait until it is fully formed, we would have missed the opportunity to get a seat on the board?
So I believe our best contribution could be civil administrators. This is where we have a clear comparative advantage. It is a unique opportunity to contribute expertise and experience in nation building, and we could help build peace in the Middle East, and I dare say, even the wider world, given the global nature of this conflict. Has the Ministry considered going beyond the regular Singapore Cooperation Programme, which typically invites select Palestinian civil servants to attend training in Singapore, and instead send our senior civil servants or retired civil servants there to set up the administrative frameworks and structures and train the civil servants over there?
Minister Balakrishnan.
Mr. Speaker, we are not campaigning to be on the board of peace. But let me take a step back and remind everybody this. We are Singaporeans. Our approach is always to do more, say less, be quietly helpful and constructive, work from the ground up. So that's why we're not asking to sit on any boards, but we will step up our long-standing cooperation with the Palestinian Authority. And I would also remind you that it's not just under the Singapore Cooperation Programme by which we engage the Palestinian Authority. We've been having regular meetings at senior levels. Palestinian Prime Minister has been here. Our Prime Minister has been there. I have been there several times. And we will customize specific programs that are relevant for them, but they will take the lead on which programs they're interested in and how Singapore can best address their needs. So I hope members of the House will agree with me that this understated, more discreet, behind the scenes, helpful, respectful approach is more appropriate for us in Singapore.
Mr. Pongwe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Minister, for your response. I just want to talk a bit about humanitarian aid. Minister mentioned that multiple countries and NGOs are already providing aid and providing relief. So how does Singapore ensure our aid complements rather than duplicates international efforts? And have we identified specific gaps in the international response where Singapore's niche support can add the most value? And lastly, can the Minister explain why sustaining our humanitarian and diplomatic engagement in Gaza matters to Singaporeans, not as an act of compassion, but as a reflection of our identity as a small nation committed to peace and multiracial harmony? Thank you.
Minister Balakrishnan.
There are many international aid agencies involved, and I would highlight first the United Nations itself, United Nations Work and Relief Committee, which has been doing work there for decades, in fact. I've mentioned the World Food Programme. I would also take reference from the hopefully soon to be established transitional authority. And it is for people on the ground to decide what is needed and to coordinate, and then we fit in. It is not for us to impose our idea of how aid should be delivered. So again, I hope you understand my position of not trying to be pushy and not trying to, aim for positions on boards and not trying to excessively draw attention, but just to quietly and effectively work in the background. Your question, the other supplementary question is, why do we do this? And we do this because, first, it is an expression of Singaporeans' innate generosity and compassion. Second, I believe, Singapore does have some significant resonance in the Middle East. You know, I've shared with this house before, when we, a Singapore delegation goes there, the diversity of the delegation, multi-religious, multi-racial, is of more than, you know, has special resonance there, because there you have an example of conflicts over land, but turbocharged by appeals to religious and other tribal instincts. The example that a Singapore, united, cohesive, in the midst of our great diversity, and able to stand on our own two feet, and then to generously help enhance other people's capacity to also stand on their own two feet, is something which I believe does also reflect well on our society. And I think it reflects the basic decency and goodwill and generosity that exists in the heart of all Singaporeans. So that's why we do it. But having said that, I would also add, there are many other troubled spots in the world. And right now, you know, if you look at what's happening in Sudan, or even if you look at the sequelae of what's happened in Syria, in Yemen, there are many other troubled spots, and on which we, in due time, I think people will also hope that Singaporeans respond to accordingly. Thank you.
Last SQ, Mr. Patli Fauzi.
Minister, 12 nations, including France and Japan, have set up an emergency coalition for the financial sustainability of the Palestinian Authority to support the effort to stabilize the PA's finances and ensure the continued viability of the two-state solution. In light of the Gaza peace plan, will the Singapore now consider joining them in making financial contributions to the Palestinian Authority? And if not, why not?
Mr. Balakrishnan.
I think it's premature, but if the need arises and if there's a specific program, I'll certainly be happy to share it with the House.